Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Chuck and Winkler, Milwaukee's longest-running sports talk morning show. In one corner, a guy who has covered the Packers for 30-plus years. In the other, a Green Bay owner. Chuck and Winkler in the morning on The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. Bucks up 2-0 against the Detroit Pistons. The series shifts to Detroit on Saturday and then on Monday, and then it could be over. Bucks with a 2-0 series lead for the first time since against Charlotte back in 2001. If you just look at the scores, if you're just browsing your phone and maybe you didn't watch the game, or you're not from here, not a Bucks fan, you'll see game one, 121-86, Milwaukee handling Detroit. And then you'll see last night, Milwaukee 120, Detroit 99. But what you'll see if you dig a little deeper, or if you watch the game, is that the Pistons led at halftime on this one. And I don't know what it was like at Fiserv, and I kind of stayed off the internet. I was relatively calm. I wasn't happy. I figured there'd be a nice, you know, double-digit run that the Bucks would have, and then they wax them in the third quarter by 18. But no, at halftime, the Pistons did lead this game. Again, I don't know how tense it was for other people. I was fine, but I can understand if you maybe got a little nervous yesterday in this one.
Well, I mean, I think people need to go into these games and just think, hey, you know what? They're gonna get tested. You know, I mean, Detroit's not gonna go down without a fight. Or none of these playoff teams. They got some pride in their side, and they gave the Bucks a test in the first half. Now, ultimately, you know, the better team won, and the Bucks, you know, it took some hard work for the Bucks to win that one by 21 points. You know, they just didn't roll out the basketball in the second half, and Detroit just didn't lay down. The Bucks worked for that 21-point victory, and they showed a lot of intensity, and they came out, and the big three there really played well. So, yeah, the Bucks earned every bit of that 21-point victory. You know, it's just that they played great in the second half. And the Pistons, you know, gave them a little run in the first half, hit some shots. But it was all Bucks in the second half. And that's what they got to continue to do, go out there and assert their will and finish this series off as quickly as possible.
They were talking on the broadcast, at least on Fox Sports Wisconsin, about how Ish Smith was so embarrassed that he couldn't sleep for two games. So what the Pistons did is, you know, they came out, they are playing with pride. They are not anywhere near as good of a basketball team as the Bucks.
No.
And that's clear. But
sure,
they had some pride, so they were upset and, you know, tried very hard. They went a little smaller, which gave the Bucks some problems for a while. But then, you know, you work so hard. They also mentioned that the Pistons are like 28th in pace. And so they were required to speed it up a little bit to match the Bucks, but then also, you know, try to catch them off guard. It caught up with them. So a good first half, but again, like you said, the better team won. That is clearly the Milwaukee Bucks. The Pistons are still made up of NBA basketball players, so there is going to be, you know, some pride, and they have talent. But they just, what I've been saying is, it's not anywhere close to matching what the Bucks offer. Game three, Saturday, they're going to be at home. You know, they might be a little more charged up, although I do think a lot of Milwaukee fans are going to make that short little trip over there. But if the Bucks win game three, and especially if they win it handily, well, then game four is going to be, you know, it's going to be a waxing. And then the series is going to be over by Monday night.
Yeah, well, we've been in this spot before where our team has been down 0-2 after losing two on the road. Last year, the Bucks were down 0-2 going into Boston. You know, if you don't win one of those two games on the road, it breaks your will a little bit. You know, but and then if you go up 3-0, if you go out and win Saturday night, anytime you go up 3-0 in a series, that's over. I mean, there is really no coming back from 3-0. So go ahead, win that game on Saturday night.
Teams have come back from 3-1, I've been reminded of constantly.
Sure, and three. I think in a couple of cases there might have been some 3-0 comebacks. But, I mean, if you go up 3-0, that really puts it, and especially in a first-round series like this, a 1-8, you're going to really put them on their heels. So, I mean, you lose the Saturday night's game, that things maybe get a little bit of interest, but why not just go out and win Saturday, have the same type of effort, and pretty much put these guys, finish these guys off, put these guys at the edge of the cliff.
I don't know what you do if you're the Pistons. I mean, you hope for, like, if you're trying to try to win the series, which, you know, they're going to, but they're not. Blake Griffin didn't play again last night. We think he's going to be out the entire series. They did list him as questionable, so there was a little bit of intrigue. Ultimately did not play. They're not getting effectiveness with Andre Drummond. Frank Madden, Locked On Bucks, notices this stat. When the Pistons have Drummond on the bench in the first two games of the series, 32 minutes, Drummond on the bench, Andre Drummond, they're plus 21 over the Bucks. They are 21 points better than the Bucks. But in the 64 minutes he's played, they're a minus 77.
Yeah, weird.
So Drummond's actually, as good of a player as he is, he's actually hurting the Pistons in this series.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, they just don't have it. They don't have enough firepower to stay with Milwaukee. Just don't. They don't. I mean, even Blake Griffin. You know, again, they might win a game. They still might win a game in the series. They still might win a game in the series.
Maybe,
but ultimately,
for the game five money.
But maybe ultimately. I mean, ultimately, the Bucks are the better team. We know that. And just like Boston, I think Boston's going to go ahead and win that series. And it's going to be Milwaukee and Boston in round two. Boston won last night. And, you know, I mean, that's these two on a collision course to meet in round two.
Boston should not have won last night. The Pacers were up by two with the ball with a minute left. And then they lost by eight.
Yeah.
So the Pacers gave that one away. There was a terrible inbound pass from, I think it was Matthews.
Yeah.
Just a really awful circumstance for Indiana, who seemingly had that game, but then they went on a long drought where they couldn't score. So the Celtics now are up 2-0, and we learned this stat last year. Celtics are 37-1 when they lead a series 2-0. And the Bucks couldn't make that any worse last year, and it doesn't look like the Pacers are going to be able to do that either as that series shifts to Indiana. So, yeah, it seems like a formality, but they still got to play these things out. Bucks, ESPN on Saturday night, and then they will have one more game, I would expect, against Detroit, TNT on Monday. If they do lose a game, in which I will scream Game 5 money conspiracy, and what I mean by that is the Bucks, if they lose a game, they get another home game. You know how much money changed hands last night? And that's a lot of money for the Bucks and Fiserv Forum to take in. So there's always the joke / conspiracy that the Warriors would lose some of these easy contests so they could get another game at home. If the Bucks lose one of these games in Detroit, whether it's true or not, all I will be saying is Game 5 money. I won't break it down in any way. Chuck, I'm not going to give you any X's and O's. I'm just going to scream conspiracy the entire time.
Yeah, but that would mean Bud and his team are throwing a game.
Yep, that's what I'm gonna stand.
And
by.
And that would be like, I don't know. I would be, I just can't buy into that. I mean, if anything, a game is going to get thrown, it's going to be because of poor officiating. But I don't see it. I mean, if Detroit wins, they would have won. I mean, I know there's going to be people who say, oh, the game is fixed because they want to come back for a game five. You know, I just can't go there. I mean, I guess people would say the same thing if the Pacers won a game at home against Boston. All that Boston wanted to come back home and win the series and get that extra home game. But
I find it more realistic if the Bucks actually lose to this team that they threw a game rather than Detroit did enough to beat them.
Yeah, well,
they're just not good enough.
Tell it the honest that he wants to throw a game. I mean, the players ultimately decide the game. I mean, if Giannis is not playing in the fourth quarter in a close game against Detroit, then maybe some questions will fly. But Giannis is certainly not going to go out there, or Middleton, or Bledsoe, or any of these guys, and intentionally miss shots and play poorly and play half-assed just to force a game five.
No, I mean, I would even go deeper on conspiracies. I would say that Wes Edens bribed the officials. I would say that Mark Lazary put some like sedatives in the Bucks' meal that night to make them play a little drowsy. Okay. Maybe some extra Dramamine in the turkey sandwiches.
Okay,
I mean that's where I would go. Just so just so you're aware of what the show's going to be like if the Bucks lose either three or four.
Oh boy,
it's going to be tinfoil hat time, big time for me.
Okay, all
because
right.
You watch these two games, and yeah, the Pistons gave the Bucks a little bit of a challenge in the first half. Now, there were three fouls on Giannis pretty quickly in this game. He sat the last 6.5 minutes of the second quarter. He had three fouls. You don't see that a lot. So there were already some people upset last night that the officiating was maybe tilted one way or the other. Ultimately, this team is too good to lose to the Pistons, certainly for the series, but I would even go a step further and say a game.
Yeah, well, the Bucks are going to win the series. Move forward. Celtics Pacers, when is game three on that? Is that Saturday too?
Oh, I can look at that for you, Sir Chuck.
I didn't see a second of that game, but I'm noticing Boston outscored Indiana 31-12 in the fourth quarter. The Pacers have a double-digit lead at all in the fourth quarter here?
The Pacers had a double-digit lead in at least the third quarter. Okay. It looked like the Pacers were going to cruise to a victory.
Yeah.
Then they had a long stretch where they did not score, and then Boston kept coming back. Kyrie was nailing threes in the fourth, as he does, and then Indiana kind of blew it at the end. Their next game is Friday night.
Okay.
On a nationally televised ABC game. So
really?
Yeah, Pacers-Indiana on a Friday.
Odd.
On ABC, and then they turn around and play again ABC on Sunday. So that series gets the national spotlight, the rabbit ears. You can watch it anywhere while the Bucks played on NBA TV.
Yeah, I wish there were more games on regular TV, on network TV, you know, like the good old days. But, Irving had 37 last night, man. He must have been great.
Yeah, he was. Great. He was good. Horford was good.
Yeah.
The Celtics had that game in hand. After Indiana eventually blew it.
So
and
at
they
least,
did. They blew it.
So at least the Bucks held serve, won their two games here, won them handily, and didn't give Detroit any hope by losing either one of those first two games like Toronto did or like Philly did.
Now, there's a part of me that almost wanted the Bucks to lose.
Oh, no, don't say that.
Yeah.
No. Why?
Because I don't think playoff fever has swept up Milwaukee yet.
No. Who cares?
The series is a formality.
But this is the way, it's this way for all the great teams. And you would know this with your brother's team, Golden State. That first round series is always a formality.
I want to see this town go nuts for the Bucks, like it did for the Brewers.
It's going to get there.
I know it will get there.
It's going to get there. The first round is all, when you're the number one seed, that first round. Okay, I mean, I thought there was some electricity in the building again last night, but no. Wait till the second round, man, and when we got a long way to go.
The electricity in the building last night was more for who the stars were that were in the building, I think, rather than what was happening on the court.
No, a loss is not going to get people excited in this town. They are excited for the Bucks, but things get amped up against the Celtics in the second round.
Yeah, I agree with that. And there's been, you know, people that have been dying for more Bucks talk all the way back since November. And I think we have delivered on that promise. But really, when the town is going to get crazy about it, we're dipping our toes into the waters. I mean, they dyed the river green, and it's a Fear of the Deer Friday, and you're supposed to wear Bucks stuff, and the hop is decorated and all that kind of stuff. But there's a feeling that swept through the town in October. And it's close, but it hasn't done that yet for the Bucks, and it will probably take a series that's more in question than what really is just batting practice for the Bucks.
Yeah,
right now.
I mean, even the Bulls, when they won their six titles, okay, that first round series, they'd play Miami, who wasn't very good at the time, or Orlando, and they played some crappy team in the first round. And I know down in Chicago, they weren't all excited about it. But once they got to the second, you know, they start playing the Pacers and they start playing the Knicks. That's when things got revved up. I'm telling you, once they get to Boston, when that series eventually happens here, we'll feel it. You know, by the time if the Bucks go to the NBA Finals, this Detroit series is going to feel like it was 6 months ago.
Yeah.
That's how long it's going to be.
Yeah.
That's
it feels like that
time.
Almost right now.
It's going to feel like so long ago.
I mean, maybe they need to look at giving first-round buys to some of these teams.
Well, that's the way it used to be, Bart. That was great. I liked it because they rewarded teams if you won the division. If you won your division, you got a first-round buy, and you had a I believe they gave them a second seed back then, automatic second seed.
Yeah, they won't do that divisions. Now because, no. Again, if they try to switch the playoffs to where there's a bye, then the Bucks just lost out on game one and game two money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are money printing nights. I know that seems like that's all I can focus on, but they're not going to institute a bye at this point because look at how much money came into Fiserv Forum game one, game two.
Yeah, yeah. And that's
the bars
why they
around it. And really, Milwaukee, you know, from Uber drivers to, I'm sure there was people that went to Pato last night.
Yeah, bars
maybe
are full.
Are still there.
Bars are full around Wisconsin. Great for the economy. Now, the first round series used to be best of three. I mean, imagine that. A first round playoff series, a best of three. So that first round playoff series would quickly, because it would go 1-1-1. You played one here, you played one at the other place, and then you'd come back, if necessary, for game three in your building. So you could see more upsets. And then they went to a best of five, and you saw a couple of upsets. And then finally they said, okay, best of seven first round. But I liked it better when it was a best of five, because at least there was some intrigue that maybe the team could come in and win three of five. And that's happened a couple of times in our past, but where the lower seed has won. But best of seven, you're not going to see too many upsets.
We'll talk a little Brewers coming up. We will talk plenty of Bucks throughout the morning. The schedule's also been released for the NFL. We will talk about that. And it was a night of MVPs at Fiserv Forum last night. We'll touch on that as well. It's Chuck and Winkler. You guys can chime in throughout the show, 414-799-1250. Twitter, Facebook, at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Looks like it could be the end of the road for at least one of the young pitchers. We'll have your Brew Crew review next on The Fan. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Bucks win game two. More on that coming up. Packers schedule is out. More on that coming up. Right now, time for your Brew Crew review, in which Corbin Burns struggles again. 3 1/3, gives up two more home runs. So it's been 3-3-3 and now two. That's 11 home runs on the season. He's got a 10.70 ERA. Do you think they'll keep him in the rotation? Corbin Burns, why don't you answer that first?
You know, that's up for them to decide. I hope so. You know, I'm going to come in every single day and keep putting in the work and keep doing what I can to get better. But, you know, frankly, I haven't done my job these first four starts, so that's something that I have to continue to work at and, you know, fix the mistakes and get things rolling.
Corbin Burns, who I think of the three young guys, Woodruff, Peralta, and him, has the best stuff and could be the best pitcher of those three. And not just could, I think he will be. Those early returns have been very poor. He was really good in the bullpen last year at the major league level, but he has been a starter in the minors, and that's what he's projected to be. Yet, as I mentioned, a 10.70 ERA through four starts. He's given up now 11 home runs on the season. You could say yesterday was an improvement because he only gave up two long balls. Each of the other games, he's given up three.
Yeah, I feel like anytime Craig Counsell says, well, we got some things we got to fix with him and wouldn't commit to Burns. When he or a manager doesn't commit to a guy automatically for his next start and think or say anything like, well, we got to think about this, usually that means skipping his turn of the rotation and maybe putting him down to the minors to work things out. And I got a feeling that's going to happen with Burns here. And we'll see. We'll see who does. Now, that'll be two guys, two young guys, Freddie Peralta, who's on the disabled list or on the injured list or whatever they want to call it these days, and Burns, who I guess will maybe find some news today that he'll get sent down to AAA. And again, though, here we are a few weeks into the season and down two starters in the rotation.
You know, I think we're going to have a longer conversation this time and try to figure out what the best way to get him on track is. In his first three starts, I mean, I thought he threw the ball well. Today, I didn't think he threw the ball that well outside the first inning.
So the first inning did look good, but then he did start to get shelled a little bit as this one went forward. 6-3 the final. Cardinals beat the Brewers. Now, he's had to play some of the best offenses in the league. He's played the Cardinals twice.
He's played the Cubs, and then he pitched against the Dodgers. I believe that if he does make his next start, he's in line to face the Cardinals again, as the Brewers have the Dodgers this weekend, and then they go to St. Louis.
Yeah, but all the other guys are facing these guys, too, in that rotation and the pitchers and all that. And
well, it's not...
He's leaving the ball right over the middle of the plate.
Yeah, his pitches are not... Yasmani will frame a pitch, and then Burns won't throw it anywhere near that. And they are leaving up in the middle, and in some cases they're going a little higher. But that's... if you're going to have another start, so five starts, three of them are going to be against the Cardinals... Like, that's tough. And yes, he's a major league pitcher. He should be able to pitch better than this. He's given up a ton of home runs. I'm just saying this is not a good way to sort of acclimate yourself to a starter role in the major leagues. Now, what do you do with him? I think a lot of people are assuming that he's not going to make his next start in the rotation. I don't know how that plays out. The Brewers still need a starter, I believe, for Saturday against Kershaw. Because they are not going to have Freddy Peralta. You thought it could be Aaron Wilkerson, but he throws, a handful of innings, four innings yesterday, hits a home run, by the way, so it likely won't be him. Chase Anderson could get a start, I guess. They bring up Adrian Hauser, maybe. So they've already got one spot they got to fill, and now on top of it, you're going to have to fill another.
Yeah, they could be doing this route. They could start Chase for a couple of innings. They could be bullpenning it, where they start a guy for a couple of innings, and then... have Wilkerson take over and maybe somebody else and just try to string together for one game at least and try to get through a start. They could be doing that that sort of thing. They could have somebody make a start and just think, okay, if he doesn't do very well, we'll have someone else in emergency to take over early in the game. But I just don't think – I think Burns is going to get a little trip down to the minors, down to San Antonio. And, Saturday – I'm looking at that right now as a bullpenning game.
So then who's going to start for Burns?
Good question. I don't know.
I have a hunch he makes his next start.
I thought Wilkerson might have made his start Saturday because they told Wilkerson initially when they brought him up on Tuesday that he was, they were going to put him out in the bullpen, but kind of thought, he was stretched out that he'd start Saturday night, but then he goes four innings yesterday. Four innings yesterday, and pitches well. Gave up a run on four hits or five hits, but it's a mystery because they got two guys down to that rotation.
So of the two options, I would rather, and we've talked about this, I would rather they send Burns down and continue to have him be a starter than throw him into the bullpen.
Yeah, well, because he's got even if he's out in the bullpen. He's a starter right now, and he's leaving balls in the middle of the plate. And he wasn't doing that last year. So, just moving him to the bullpen is not going to fix him.
Right. And I don't want these guys to change roles all season. Corbin Burns, I think, the way he's going to be the most successful in baseball is if he's a starter.
Yeah.
And I think he's got the stuff to do it right now. It's just not working out that way. If you send him down, though, or if you admit failure... And this is where it gets tricky, and this is where maybe you get mad at Stearns for not bringing in any veteran, any guy, whether it's, a Jeremy Hellickson or Wade Miley back or Gio, Jordan Lyles, anybody. You went into the season with three young pitchers. You basically had to have counsel convince Ed Nazio that that was the right thing to do. And now one of them's on the injured list, and you're going to demote another one? So 3 weeks into the season, you're just going to have one of those guys up at the major league level?
Yeah, we're not talking about the Cincinnati Reds here or the Pirates, who are feel like they could contend, but still they're not thinking really World Series like the Brewers are thinking. And for a team that's got high expectations like the Brewers coming off 96 wins, to have three young guys in your rotation is a little odd, and this is where Council thought comfortable. But this could end up backfiring on them.
Well, then maybe you kind of reposition your thoughts on how immaculate David Stearns is. This is what they wanted to do.
Well, I don't know if you question that, but they felt comfortable enough with these guys that they felt that they – look what they did last year. I mean, Burns was just terrific in relief. He was 7-0. He had an ERA under 3. He was good in all his outings. And they thought, okay, put him in the rotation. We knew he'd go through some growing pains, but who would have guessed he would have given up 11 homers in his 4 starts so far? Or that Peralta, who, again, when you were making your cross-country trip to Arizona, man, he was just great against Cincinnati, man.
We listened to that game on the road, and it only took like an hour and a half.
Yeah, Bart, it was great. I mean, and that way, too, it was great. But it was an afternoon game, and it was on TV, and he was just terrific. Got out of a tough situation with Puig in the eighth inning, and like, man, Freddie's going to be phenomenal. And then he comes out in his next couple starts, and not very good, but... it could end up where, it was like, what were they doing putting all three guys in the rotation right away? I mean, if those guys pitch great, they look like geniuses. But since two of the three really haven't been all that good, now it's looking like, well, maybe you should have gone out and got yourself a starter.
Well, despite that, the Brewers still do stay on top of the NL Central, although their lead is razor thin. Brewers are 12-7. They start a 4-game set with the Dodgers tonight at Miller Park. The Pirates are 10-6. Each of these teams have won 7 of their last 10. The Pirates, Cardinals, and Cubs. So it is getting tighter. Pirates are 10-6. They're a half game back. The Cardinals are 10-8 with the win yesterday. They're a game and a half back. The Cubs, after starting horribly, they're now 8-9. They're 3 back, and then the Reds are 6 back. So the Pirates, just a half game. The Cardinals, a game and a half. Cubs 3, and Reds 6.
Here, when you mentioned about David Stearns, second-guessing Stearns, or beginning to second-guess how good he is, every GM in every sport makes moves like they wish they had back. I mean, he probably, obviously the scope move, he wishes he had back. But you just hope as a general manager, you make more good ones than bad ones. Because you make a move and you think on projections. You bring this guy in thinking, okay, he's going to be pretty good for me. And if it doesn't work out, you look terrible. The Yelich thing, he looks like a genius on. The scope thing, not so much. Putting three guys, young guys in the rotation at this point, not so much. But, they all make. Every GM in the league, whether it's football and drafting or certain players are cut, basketball, whatever, they're all going to make mistakes. There's going to be a margin of mistakes they make. And this might be one that he made.
Casey tweets in at 105.7 FM, The Fan. You can do that throughout the show. I'm at Winks. Thanks. Chuck said Chuck Freeman. Who would have thought that Zach Davies would be your best starter so far? Not me. That's from Casey. And not only has Davies been your best starter, Aaron Wilkerson's home run yesterday, that was with Zach Davies' bat.
Yeah,
so this guy's impacting this team all over the place.
See, now you can look at this. All right, that was pretty smart move so far to have Davies in the rotation because he's pitched well in his outings. So, I mean, that's where you say, well, Stearns and Council got that one right by having Davies. So we'll see what he does tonight against the Dodgers.
It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Zach Davies, just one of the Brewers that at least I did not spot at Fiserv Forum yesterday, as you had all three, we'll say Giannis for the time being, three state MVPs in the building at once. It was a night full of stars. We'll have that next. Chuck and Winkler, good morning. 105.7 FM, The Fan. Let's take a look around the Fiserv Forum. The stars are out tonight. Sitting front row, quarterback for your Green Bay Packers, it's Aaron Rodgers.
He was next to, Vic Roselli, one of the owners that we brought up the other day?
Fescatelli?
Yeah, Fescatelli. Fescatelli, he likes to have the button up, his button up shirt. It's always like right down to the middle of his chest.
I'm not done with my voice bit yet.
He's, he likes to take that extra button.
Can I finish my voice bit before we talk about?
Go ahead.
Steve Fescatelli or whatever the hell his name is. Yeah. Is it Mike?
Mike.
Is it Mike?
Yeah, Mike. Yeah, Mike.
Mike. And is that his real last name?
Well, I don't think he's making it up.
But do we have it right?
Oh, that's fine. Yeah. All I know is he's the guy with the button. He's got the button down, man. He's showing some man cleavage there.
Behind the announcer table, it's the manager of your Milwaukee Brewers. It's Craig Counsell.
With his son.
with his family. I saw some daughters with him.
Okay, the daughters too. Was the wife there? Was Michelle there?
I don't know if Shelly was there.
Okay.
up in the booth, Christian Yelich.
Yeah, how did he get up there and everybody else was down on the floor?
Well, he was with a bunch of guys. So here's who I counted at the Bucks game last night just by watching it on TV, Fox Sports Wisconsin. They showed Aaron Rodgers a bunch, okay? And every time they showed him, he was next to Steve Pascarelli and then, or what's that guy, Len Pascarelli?
Len Pascarelli.
He's next to Len Pascarelli.
He's the former ESPN football insider, but we'll say okay.
All right, he's next to Len Pascarelli. And then Danica Patrick.
Oh, yeah.
Danica Patrick's there. They didn't make one mention of her.
No, she had the Sunday look going on. Had the hair pulled back.
She Danica Patrick is like one of the most influential female athletes, whether she won or not. Mm-hmm. People know who she is of the last 20 years. And yes, she is dating Aaron Rodgers. But every time they showed him, they never even made mention. Yeah. She was just like trophy arm candy. It's Danica Patrick.
No, we're thinking about this at the bar last night. Who's worth more money? Who's made more money? Has Danica made more than Aaron?
No.
With endorsements and all that?
How much GoDaddy money is she getting?
Well, she's had a few other endorsements, too. I would have guessed Aaron Rodgers, but I'm wondering how much Danica's had to make fairly amount of coin. Not on driving, but on
just
all the other stuff.
What does 35th place in a race get you consistently?
No, that doesn't get you anything. A set of free tires, maybe.
What is getting run into by your ex-boyfriend get you in a race?
Yeah,
Ricky Stenhouse.
No, she...
How do I know that?
I thought she might have made some money, just endorsements, but I assume it's still Aaron Rodgers.
So let's go through who else was at the game. Chris was there, said he saw somebody. Chris on the north side. Who'd you see?
I saw Greg Jennings at the game last night.
Greg Jennings.
Greg Jennings? No way.
Greg Jennings. Yes.
Was it somebody who looked like Greg Jennings?
No, Jennings was there. Where did he sit?
He sat courtside. He sat courtside, of course, close by the benches. I worked there, so he came my way in.
So Greg Jennings and Aaron Rodgers were near each other?
Yeah. And I told Greg Jennings, I said, speak the truth. And he said, you feel me, man? You feel me, man? It was
really?
Man.
What? Why was Jennings at a Bucks playoff game?
Hey, everybody wants to see the best team in town.
It seems odd for Jennings to be there.
did he ever go by Rodgers?
He said he did.
Oh, man.
If
he did, man, Danica would have cut that one off quickly. Danica would have lit him up like she did some of those drivers. Oh, God.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm
the
there.
RBF she had going on last night.
Keep up the good work, Chris. Thanks for the report.
Yeah.
Our celebrity insider, Chris, on the north side.
All right, who else?
So we've got Rodgers and Danica Patrick. Greg Jennings was there.
Mm-hmm.
David Bakhtiari, to continue with Packers, was there. He was shown on the Jumbotron, and then he chugged a beer. So that's
there. Yep.
Everyone's pumped about that. As far as Brewers, there were a lot of Brewers there. I saw Christian Yelich. They showed him in the box.
Saw that.
But also in that box, I saw Lorenzo Cain.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure Corbin Burns was up there. Moustakas was up there.
He was in back of him.
And then I think Jacob Barnes was right next to Yelich, too. So in that box,
Barnes count as a celebrity at this point, though?
Like if you went to Beans and Barley and Jacob Barnes was eating there.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you say, hey, that's Jacob Barnes?
But when you got Moose and you got Yelich up there, and then Barnes, he's like a hanger-on at this point.
Do you ever see the movie or hear the movie Duff?
No.
Duff stands for Designated Ugly Fat Friend. And so in the movie, it took place in a high school where this chick was the Duff, you know, because she wasn't as attractive as her two gorgeous friends. And so what the Duff does is she acts as an intermediary for guys, like if they want to talk to Becky or Michelle or whatever these hotties' names are, they talk to the Duff and get tight with the Duff, and then she's like their entry point, like their gateway into the friends.
Okay, because usually the Duff, isn't she usually like the block, we'll say?
Sure, the block.
Yes.
Something like that.
Yeah.
There's other terms for it.
Yeah, I'm just using the last part of that word. Yeah.
Oh, sure.
You
like if you go to a bar and then you want to talk to a hottie, you know, the Duff comes over.
The Duff comes over and blocks you.
And all of a sudden, she you know, stands his bar right closed and you're munching on her face.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, no, I think she's just, she kind of gives you the RBF too. And just says, no, none of, you're not having any of my friend.
You never went to a bar and tried to talk to a hottie, and then at the end of the night, you're just making out with the Duff?
No. Nah. Nah, it's time to just go home.
I made out with this Duff once, Chuck.
Yeah.
It was when we went, took a trip to Nashville on our Packer road trip.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to talk to this hottie, and then so I ended up talking to the Duff.
Yeah.
And we made out. And she's fine looking. But when I like touched her arm, she had more hair on her arm than I did.
Oh, that's disgusting. So you know what that means.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just not her arm.
And maybe not. Gary Ellerson texting, am I a celebrity? I was there.
Ellie sitting in the stands. He's been at both games so far.
That's good for you to show up to something yesterday, Ellerson.
Wow. Oh, that's right. He wasn't on the show in the afternoon.
Yeah, what the hell, Gary?
Yes. Yeah, you know.
Your show ends at 6. The Bucks game started at 7.
Yeah, Ellie probably had a personal appearance.
Yeah. Where were you, Ellie? Coach Ellerson. All right, so Ellerson was there. We'll have to get his report on Greg Jennings and mm-hmm. Rogers on the big show today, 2 to 6, if he shows up. But yeah, if you went to like a restaurant and you saw Yelich and Moose and Barnes, mm-hmm. wouldn't you feel more comfortable talking to Barnes?
Barnes would be the Duff.
Yeah, wouldn't he be okay. the Duff is okay. what I'm saying.
All right.
So though the Brewers were up there, Jalay Chassin was there. He was sitting next to David Stearns.
Stearns, he was there.
Stearns sat next to Chassin, and okay. when Fox Sports Wisconsin went to show Chassin, they showed, Chassin, I should take a day off, and then they didn't even mention that it was Stearns next to him.
Okay, which, yeah, Stearns is... I would think Stearns would be more recognizable than Chassin these days.
I would think so, too.
Yeah. Okay, who else?
Let's see, who else was there?
One call was there.
Well, Gruber was everywhere.
Well, they, you know, his either him or his body double was there. But they didn't point him out, but he was there.
The doctor, the children's doctor was there that dyes his hair and then does this wave with his arms.
Yeah, yeah.
He's always there. Yeah, he's sort of a celebrity.
Yeah.
Council was there.
Yeah, we got him with his kid.
And then Jeremy Jeffress was there. He sat front row baseline next to the Bucks bench. I believe mm-hmm. he has season tickets. He doesn't go to every game.
He's a big basketball fan.
He goes to
a big basketball fan. Jeremy is.
Let's see. Brian tweets in, pretty sure Chuck is the Duff of this morning show.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah, I think you're wrong. Who said that?
Oh, that's Brian T.
Oh, Brian T, you're an idiot. You don't obviously know this morning show.
So that makes me the Duff?
I'd be the Adrian. What's her name? Adriana Grande of this show.
Ariana Grande.
Whatever.
You can be the whatever. Ariana Grande.
Whatever her name is.
BJ tweets in and says, hey, guys, in regard to the Duff conversation. My dad always
the Duff?
My dad always told me, if you pass one up, you die one short.
Okay. Heard Braun was there.
I didn't see Braun.
Yeah.
Corey tweets in, wow, this show really needs this type of talk about women. Your listeners want this. It's cringy, inappropriate, and in bad taste.
Okay.
Get with the times.
Oh.
Bucks talk, question mark? Nope. Just insults about the looks of women.
Okay, sorry. God, Mr. Sensitivity out there. Beta male at his best. What's his name?
Corey.
All right, Corey.
All right, first of all, Corey, the Duff movie that I'm referencing came out 4 years ago in 2015. Second, the girl I made out with was cute, but she did have arm hair. Am I supposed to ignore that? It was disgusting to touch. Third, we'll give you Bucks talk, but guess what? It's the first round of a playoff series, and it's boring. I'm watching Fox Sports Wisconsin last night. I got tricked. I thought it was January. Paschke and Johnson and the Bucks are up 10. There's nothing playoff about last night.
Well, that's good. That's
the most playoff about last night was that there were celebrities at the game.
But,
and all the, our only celebrities in the state are athletes.
But you could feel through the TV, and an attorney who's on TV all the time, you could feel through the TV there was... That building was dialed up last night.
Oh,
you
sure.
You can feel that.
I still wish everybody would wear the shirts. I don't know why Milwaukee is the one NBA city that won't wear free shirts.
Yeah.
They'll take them, and they'll scour the seats for them.
But then you got to take the shirt you got on and do something with it. You know, then you got to do something with it. So I would say if they're going to wear a shirt and you know it, wear a bad shirt to the game. Or wear a T-shirt because you're going to change into the new one anyway. Go in the bathroom, change into the new shirt. If you don't want to take that current shirt off in front of everybody.
Well, no, why don't we do Bucks Talk instead of our relatable content? Let's talk about the Pistons. So, Chuck, they went small, and it really gave the Bucks some props.
Yeah, the Bucks only won by 21 last night. Any other celebrities?
No, that's all I got.
That's it, okay. So other people are texting me on who else was there last night. I think we pretty much covered it. Yeah, all the celebrities of the state are all athletes and attorneys.
Right, yeah, no. That's and doctors. And Gary Ellerson.
And Gary Ellerson was there. And,
well, but he could still be considered the athlete. So the game was on, I watched it on Fox Sports Wisconsin last night, and if Corey's okay with us talking about the TV broadcast of this, I know we're treading on some thin ice here because you want to break down when the Pistons went from zone to man-to-man. I know that that's what's going to pop a number this morning. But with the NBA TV broadcast last night, even Charles Barkley was ripping on the fact that this game was on NBA TV instead of TNT, and they had that exchange on the TNT pregame show just before Celtics Pacers.
Yeah, I'm gonna miss the
Pacers Celtics coming
Rockets.
Up.
Jazz Hold on, Rockets. Jazz
yeah,
Rockets.
Hell of a game. Yeah,
the that's... Bucks on NBA TV.
They just told it. To go, well, actually, Shaq, it's really the Pistons on NBA TV.
You're right. Pistons and Bucks.
What's wrong with NBA TV?
That's an hour.
That's where we put the games we don't care about. That's really.
That's
I didn't
an hour
know
from now.
That's part of the memo.
Hey, right. Name me how many times LeBron's played on NBA TV.
Oh, he played a lot.
He's never been on NBA TV.
Players only.
No.
Oh yeah.
That's not the same.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Not during the playoffs.
That's not the same.
Yeah, not during.
LeBron's not playing on NBA TV right now.
Hey, the Celtics.
I tell you what.
That's what we should put him on NBA TV.
So they're still trying to get LeBron to do their pregame show with them.
Yeah.
So now they're saying we'll get him to come here, but then we're going to throw him on NBA TV as a joke.
See, this is why that pregame show and that studio show is the best, man, because they just keep it real. I mean, you would never hear the guys on Fox NFL Sunday say, well, game's going to be on the NFL Network because we don't want to, all these other things are on the NFL Network because we're not going to put them on Fox. Just put him on the NFL Network. Nobody's watching it anyway. A Barkley will come out right out and say it. NBA TV. We put the games over there that nobody cares about.
I don't know who did the call on NBA TV. I watched it on Fox Sports Wisconsin because it was blacked out for me on DirecTV.
Yeah.
And I absolutely love the Fox Sports Wisconsin crew, .. But... But when it's the playoffs, I want to see it on TNT. I want to see it on ESPN. I want to see it on ABC.
See, me, I'd rather see my hometown guys. I want to see the guys I've been watching all year long, Paschke and Marcus.
But then if I see it, it just feels like it feels the same. It feels like a regular season game. To me, it did.
Yeah. No, I still want to hear our guys. I want to hear our guys call it.
Well, then maybe it's something with the camera because it didn't seem as bright. Is that a complaint?
Compared to what?
Like, the game on TNT pops on my screen, and the game on Fox Sports Wisconsin looks like it got run through an HD converter at the last second.
I don't know. I've never seen that that before. Mm. Yeah, I haven't noticed that. But I feel like, though, when games are like in the NBA channel, they just don't quite feel like big games. Barkley's right about that. It's like Monday Night Football. When it was on ABC, you felt like it was a big game when it's on ABC. But when it's on ESPN, it doesn't feel quite as big. Like the Sunday Night broadcast on NBC, you feel something on the whole presentation. Then the next night on Monday Night Football doesn't seem like it once was when it was on ABC.
Does NBA TV see more playoff feel than Fox Sports Wisconsin?
Well, no, I just want to, like hearing our guys call the games. No, NBA, I don't know, NBA TV, it's just if you want to watch the game, it's on.
A couple of more tweets about you, if I can read them.
Sure.
The King says, Chuck gets offended when called a duff, then tells a listener to stop being so sensitive, LOL.
Yeah.
No response?
No. Go ahead.
Dan says, I guess Brian T. has never seen Chuck's hot tub video.
Yeah.
He's hardly a duff. Big hunk of a man meat is what he is, playa.
That guy's smart.
I'm going to retweet that one from the fan account. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins, 799-1250 on the fan.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.